to Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading some more information from Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf-Blind Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian, and if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. Our first reading today is Piglet by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. In the last chapter, we learned that Piglet had become an inspiration to people all over the world. The Piglet mindset became a teaching tool to educate people about overcoming obstacles and building their own unique pathway in life. And now we turn to Piglet. In April, I received an email from Liz Lawrence, a teacher of deaf students in California, who was initially interested in having one and then two of her students have a virtual Piglet meeting. I suggested they first look at the materials on the website to get familiar with Piglet and his mindset. She replied, "They will know who Piglet is and will have seen some of your videos. We will have talked a little bit about his message, and I will help them prepare some questions to ask you. Anything you want to share with them about Piglet, they will be excited to know. They will probably want to know things like, how do you get his attention? We tap deaf kids on the shoulder. And how does he know any sign language? They probably also want to know how you got him." She followed up the next day by adding, "Both of my students have cochlear implants. The older student uses a combination of sign language and speech. I will interpret for her if she needs me to do that. The other student is speech only. Our Google Meet platform is also captioned. My older student wrote these questions today after we looked at a video and the PowerPoint. 1, my mom taps me to wake me up. Is this how you wake up Piglet? 2, I screamed too when I couldn't hear. This is true, in capital letters. Then I learned sign language. How does Piglet communicate? Can he see a little bit of sign language from his left eye? 3, how old is Piglet now? 4, how did the other dogs learn to be patient with Piglet?" "These are excellent questions," I told the two students when we began our video call. Communication was no problem because the younger student could hear me and Liz signed for the older student to ensure she understood what I was saying. They loved that I woke up early and gently tapped him, just like their parents did for them. And they really liked the go pee tap signal. Without telling us exactly, Piglet seemed to miss the up-close and personal interactions of meeting new people that he enjoyed in our pre-pandemic life. We tried to take longer walks and have more outings in the car, not just for him, but for all of the dogs. During this time, his pages were bombarded with posts from more and more people who told us that Piglet and his inclusion pack had helped them through the toughest of days. We might not be able to put our fingers on what it is, but somehow Piggy Little lets us live in the moment and savor it, allowing us to let go of the harder burdens, at least for a short while, and feel the joy that comes from not having to fix the whole world, only to hopefully make it a little bit better. January 2021, Piglet's virtual birthday party. When it comes to humans, I feel about birthdays the way I feel about weddings. Not my favorite thing. That doesn't apply to our dogs, however. We regularly celebrate their gotcha days to mark their official adoption days as members of the Shapiro family. We also celebrate their birthday zones, as has been the case for Piglety, who turned 4 years old sometime toward the end of January 2021. We organized a fundraiser for our nonprofit, Piglet International, Inc., that included a Zoom gathering complete with goodie bags full of Piglet face masks, stickers, and other party favors for VIP ticket purchasers. Piggy and his entire inclusion pack performed the Piglet show to wild applause from all of those watching near and far. When I told Rachel about the party, she said, "I wouldn't miss it for the world, Mom," and connected from Germany about 2 a.m. in her time. She told me not to worry, as she was up working anyway. Such is the life of a private equity investor. Talk about unexpected. During the whole Zoom party, Rachel managed to make every guest feel that they were a VIP, all the while wiping tears of pride off her pink baby brother's growth and accomplishment. Rachel is one of the most outgoing, gregarious young women I've ever met. She's also so sweet to everyone and always has been. At the age of 3, she came with us to the vet hospital party, where she mingled on her own when we first arrived. Within a few minutes of being there, she took Warren by the hand and gave him a tour of the party, introducing him to each person by name. Here she was, recently married to Rebecca, building a life together, becoming fluent in German, so that she was able to converse with her Oma, Warren's mom, in her grandmother's native language. Rachel still managed to show up to make everyone who loved Piglet feel included in his birthday celebration. It hadn't hit me until that day how deeply I missed her presence, so much so that when Warren and I said goodbye to her, we all became a bit tearful. We felt so happy for Rachel and grateful that Daniel was moving along his path as a professional musician and serving his country, and proud of Ellie for her extraordinary discipline and focus. I wasn't sure how to process the many rites of passage we were all experiencing in our own lives. On the Zoom call that day, we were also honored to have Monica with us. I thought back to the recent visit to NVH when she had swept Piggy Little into her arms and he had tried to put his nose under her mask, just making sure he could smell the cilantro. Monica began to sing and dance with him that day, and as always, Piglet's tail spun and his body wiggled to her unheard tune. Once when I asked her what language she was speaking to Piglet, she said, "Oh, every language, made up too." Monica loved telling the story about the time her daughter Amanda won her Piglet t-shirt to school, and one of her teachers said, "Oh, I love Piglet." Amanda announced, "My mom is Piglet's girlfriend." The teacher stepped back, paused, and then asked incredulously, "Is your mom Monica?" She couldn't believe one of her students was the daughter of the famous Piglet's girlfriend from the videos. On that recent visit to NVH, everyone wanted to know how Susie was doing. Dr. Duffy leaned his head out to listen for my answer. I shrugged, saying she was hanging in there. There was an audible sigh of relief. Without Susie, things would have been very different in the Shapiro household. She was the unassuming mastermind, the dog who'd broken the two-dog Max barrier that had eventually led to Piglet. After his birthday party was over, Piggy Lee was exhausted, as were the rest of the six-pack and certainly his favorite dad and dog mom. There was no rest in store yet. I was working on a PowerPoint presentation for a veterinary conference and developing my new vet school for kids, a program for children who are interested in veterinary medicine and all aspects of pet care. Not to mention that I had a book to finish writing. It wasn't exactly how I'd expected to spend the night after a busy day preparing for and celebrating Piggy's 4th birthday. Living life with an open heart and letting it surprise you now and then keeps everything interesting. Everyone depends on their routine, on normalcy, especially in volatile times. Mine is one that I've cultivated with birds, children, and dogs for years. My morning wake-up and late-night bedtime rituals are the bookends of my day. On this night as most, I had a chance to reflect on the day, on the past, and on the future. The bedtime birdie routine was something I started with baby bird, a meditative time, even though I didn't actively meditate. She had a magnetic calming effect that helped in the transition from an active day to a relaxing sleep. Of course, relaxing sleep is a relative term. After finishing my work late in the evening, I began the birdie goodnight. I went to give Betty and Sunny tiny pieces of mango, loving the feel of their beaks taking fruit from my hand. When I told them at last to go in, and they listened, making their way into their cages to their sleeping perches, I paused, feeling so thankful for my tiny brown feathered friends. Whispering, I said, "Good night, Sunny. Good night, Betty," but heard nothing because the two girlitas were already in birdie dreamland. Next, I gave one more good night to Lukita downstairs and moved on to getting the dogs ready for bed. As always, I took everyone out in two groups for a pee. After checking to make sure there were no signs of a raccoon, a fox, or a coyote. Once everybody was back inside, we all moved into our small kitchen. Sweet Gina went quickly to her spot right below the kitchen sink, drooling on the floor as she anticipated her bedtime snack. This night I gave out a few rounds of cookies, using the opportunity to get Susie to eat a few extra treats before we all went upstairs. We fussed with Susie to eat more at night because going to sleep with an empty stomach predisposes her to reflux. Soon we had a quiet evening and the eating was over, and I knew that it was time to go to bed. For me, though, it was one more place to count heads and be sure everyone in the house is safe before I go to sleep. They looked forward to their bedtime snack like a late-night social gathering. As everyone started to ascend up to our bedroom, Gina went back to lie down on the living room dog bed. She doesn't like to go up the stairs, but would be mortified if she were left alone downstairs for the night. It took a few seconds to convince her to join us, with Piglet cradled in my left arm. I ushered everyone to our bedroom. By that point, Annie was already asleep, curled up next to Warren in our bed. Susie, Dean, and Gina found their respective dog beds on the floor, in the same spots where they sleep every night. Zoe, Piglet, and Evie came into the bathroom with me as I brushed my teeth. Zoe still uses a pee pad most nights, and then, sorry to say, needs a cookie. So these three got one added little treat before we finally were ready to go to sleep. That is, right after Piglet finished getting his teeth brushed, which his grunts reminded me he does not like. Piggy, you're a very small dog, and food gets caught very far back in your mouth behind your last molars. This will keep your teeth in good shape. It helped to clean the area at night before he got into bed. Whatever worries, hopes, joys, or regrets had been in my mind earlier, they no longer were in my head. I loved the contentment that filled the mostly sleeping room. Evie headed over to the fleece blanket, covering her Pottery Barn chair. Once she jumped up on the chair, she paused for me to kiss her head and then began to dig herself a sleeping nest. Zoe and Piggy at last let me pick them up to get them into bed with me. I did my usual gymnastic routine, holding the two of them at the same time, plugging my phone in, and eventually working my way into bed with a bit of a leap. I didn't want them to wake Warren up, so I quickly stuffed them under my blanket, where they both curled up into little balls. Zoe was in her spot on my left side. Piggy put himself right on top of me, where he would stay for at least for a few hours. He first had to dig a hole in my shirt before doing a few circles and finally curling into just the right tucked-in ball. Moving in stealth, Zoe left my side for Warren, and I whispered to her, "You are not my dog anymore, are you?" In moments, she returned, reassuring me that she was, in fact, my tiny chocolate lab dog. Piggy did one more turn around, curled into the tightest little ball right on top of me, and gave his final emphatic sigh, confirming that he was at last set for night. I waited in the dark for a bit, making sure everyone was asleep before putting my glasses on the night table, a signal to myself that the day was officially over and it was time to finally close my eyes. Under my breath, I whispered, "Good night," and "Sleep tight." Nobody made a sound. Next week, we'll read the epilogue from Piglet's favorite dad in the book, Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf, Blind, Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. Our next article is from the WebMD, and it's Why Do Pets Mirror Their Owners' Moods? The importance of recognizing your own emotions. Awareness of your own emotion is crucial when it comes to the bond you share with your pet. If you're constantly stressed or anxious, your pet may absorb those emotions and mirror them back. It's essential to take time to reflect on your feelings and impact on your pet. Practicing mindfulness can create a more positive atmosphere, benefiting both you and your furry companion. Engaging in activities that uplift your mood, like playing with your pet, going for a walk, or simply spending quality time together, can help foster a more harmonious environment. The happier you are, the more your pet will reflect that joy, creating a delightful cycle of positivity. The mirroring of moods between pets and their owners is a beautiful testament to the bond we share with our furry friends. This connection is built upon the mutual understanding, empathy, and love. By recognizing the power of our emotions and how they affect our pets, we cultivate a relationship that thrives on positivity and joy. As pet lovers, we have the unique opportunity to nurture the bond, creating an environment where both we and our pets flourish. So the next time you notice your pet mirroring your mood, take a moment to appreciate this incredible connection. Whether it's laughter, comfort, or companionship, the love we share with our pets enriches our lives in countless ways. Let's celebrate the bond and continue to foster the happiness that pets bring into our world. This information comes from Why Do Pets Mirror Their Owner's Moods? Our last article talked primarily about cats and dogs. This article talks about how horses can actually heal humans. Gabrielle Gardner believes it's far more important and more symbiotic in a relationship between a horse and a human. Shine for Life, a company offering equine-assisted therapy in the UK, was born out of a eureka moment in 2006 when Gabrielle grew up with horses and riding. Was on a yoga retreat and a fellow yogi told her about equine therapy. I immediately booked myself on a training course and knew by day two that was my life's calling. I feel blessed to be able to observe the many healing moments that horses can offer us as humans. We just need to take a moment to breathe, trust, and take notice. Gabrielle, whose team of therapists along with her two horses have worked with clients including autistic children, survivors of domestic violence, and people struggling with addiction, says these majestic creatures can literally sync with humans. Horses' hearts emit electromagnetic signals with an 8-foot wavelength so powerful they make other hearts in the vicinity beat at the same rate. And in the case of humans, that means reducing heart rate by a 12th. Equine therapy first became popular in parts of Europe in the 1950s when it was combined with physiotherapy for those with physical disabilities. In the past 20 years, it has evolved to include psychological therapy. There are two aspects to horses' behavior that makes them perfect therapy partners. First, they are herd animals, and their social nature makes them want to create bonds. Secondly, they are also prey animals, which makes them expert readers of body language. This means that they mirror human behavior. Walk into a horse's space with a negative attitude or a defensive body language, and the chances are it will not want to interact with you. Approach with a sense of calm, confidence, and openness. However, the horse will reflect these qualities straight back. Monkeys as helpers. The practice of training capuchin monkeys to care for humans who are paralyzed or who have restricted mobility has been controversial. At the Helping Hands Monkey College in Boston, around 145 of the primates originally from the Central and South American rainforest are undergoing training to learn tasks such as switching lights on and off, turning the pages of a book, playing a DVD, or even shifting a person's limbs. Animal rights activists have questioned the ethics of turning monkeys into service animals, but they undoubtedly transform human lives. The not-for-profit organization has been in operation since 1979, training monkey helpers, known for their dexterous hands and inquisitive minds, to live mainly with adults with spinal injuries. Take the case of the massage therapist Mary Ann. Her life was changed forever in 2007 when a blood clot in her spine left her paralyzed. Although she had slowly adapted to her new reality, it wasn't until her monkey helper Jessica came to live with her that she says she had a sense of independence and a purpose. "Each morning I open my eyes and see her sweet face and her sounds are like music to my ears," says Marianne. "We're a team, helping each other through the day. Jessica has given me a purpose again and distracts me from the pain, loneliness, and isolation I found in the chair." For the ability to offer a physical lifeline and a soothing, healing salve for the owner's soul, it's a compelling argument, and it seems likely they'll be joining a band of creatures with real animal magic. These articles are written by Rachel Roberts in the book Breathe, Dogs, Cats, and Us. In the reading, I mentioned equine-assisted therapy, and here's a little idea of what equine therapy is like. I'm getting over a recent heartbreak when I meet Gabrielle and her two horses in a huge field, so I'm feeling a little fragile, but with the work trip around the corner, I'm desperate to get my focus back. Gabrielle doesn't reveal the names and sexes of the horses, so I can decide what the horses represent for me. I feel the handsome chocolate brown one has a male energy, and the ethereal white horse is definitely female. After slowly approaching the male, who I call Flash, I feel a little dejected when he softly but firmly uses his head to push me out of his space. I realize I'm hoping to toughen up by tapping into my masculine side. But it seems Tara, the name I've given the female horse, and also the goddess of compassion in Tibetan Buddhism, has other ideas. She stood apart from us for most of the session with an air of cool disinterest, but then deliberately circled around us. It's as if she created a ring of soft feminine energy and told me that it was okay to still feel vulnerable. And here is some information about how the bond between human and dog evolved. The rock-solid bond goes back thousands of years. When exactly dogs became our pets is not known, but there is credible evidence that suggests there were two points at which gray wolves were domesticated. Bones found in the Goyet Cave in Belgium are thought to be those of a domestic dog and have been dated to around 36,000 years ago. Similar remains have been discovered at a second site in Siberia's Altai Mountains and dated to a circa 35,000 years ago. The timelines and details remain subjects of debate among scientists. One of the problems in assigning a date to dog domestication is that it is difficult to understand whether the remains are an early dog that may look like a wolf or a full-blown domestic dog. What is indisputable is that the centuries since our bond with dogs has deepened and been a feature of rituals and folklore across cultures. As pets, guards, and messengers, dogs were venerated by the Romans and the Greeks, but in ancient Egypt they were particularly beloved. Faithful companions were mummified and buried with the Egyptian rulers, or sometimes placed alongside in their own coffins. Killing a pet dog was treated as a capital offense, punishable by death. Some devastated owners would grieve for their best friends by shaving off all their body hair, including their eyebrows. The relationship was no less intense in the next world. Dog-like Anubis was the Egyptian god of lost souls who escorted the dead to an afterlife. Some Native American cultures also had dog gods and spirit guides. It's thought that there have been canines in North America for at least 9,000 years. As society has developed, dogs have continued to play a central role in how humans live and organize themselves. Natural hunter-gatherers, dogs made an obvious early contribution, and when sheep, goats, and cows were domesticated, somewhere around 7,000 to 9,000 years ago, dogs were then used to herd. Today we have 400-plus pure breeds and thousands of crossbreeds. There are now an estimated 90 million dogs in the United States, one for every four Americans. Dogs continue to work important jobs as guides for the visually impaired and support for law enforcement, among others, but their outstanding talent is for companionship and contribution that should not be underplayed. Dogs provide therapy to millions, officially aiding recovery in hospitals and nursing facilities, and unofficially as they enhance our home lives. For scientists, that support is based on a sophisticated system of communication between dogs and humans. I became interested in the evolution of the face as a graduate student because we communicate with one another so much using facial expressions, Annie tells us. I thought it had to be one of the important keys to understanding humans. Like many biological anthropologists, Annie spent years studying the chimpanzee, our nearest primate relative, until it struck her that dogs had more to offer. They are outstanding at reading our facial expressions, and I thought that I could maybe understand humans' facial evolution by studying our best friends. This is truly extraordinary. To be able to accurately understand facial expressions of another species is incredible. Dogs are quick on the uptake. They soon get what all our pointing and patting and calls of good girl are all about. And it's a two-way conversation. Like a cat's meow, a dog's bark is thought to have evolved so that they could talk to us. Wolves can bark, but it is rare, says Annie. We can now accurately understand those dog barks, a warning bark, an alarm bark, a playful and an excited bark. Recent studies have looked for scientific explanations of this unique chemistry between human and dog. It has been found that when a dog and a human form a bond, the hormone oxytocin is released. Known as the love chemical, the hormone is also one that bonds a mother and a child. Petting a dog can increase levels of the feel-good hormone, dopamine, in both the pet and the petter. And it's been suggested dogs can smell stress in our breath and sweat and react accordingly. Put together, this could be what leads us to believe that dogs are able to read our moods and our behavior and judge our character. That brings us back to the characteristic which is most often used to define dogs, loyalty. Annie believes that they doggedly follow a simple but effective code, never wavering throughout the eons they've been by our sides. Dogs accept us for who we are. They don't care how much money we have, what kind of car we drive, or where we live. They offer the purest kind of love, and that is something to build the best relationship on. This information all comes from Breathe, Dogs, Cats, and Us. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of today's Animal Companions. I hope you enjoyed the readings, and I invite you back again to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.